It's Morning Edition on 90.1 WABE. Great to have you along. I'm Dennis O'Hare, and as the year closes, it has been an amazing one for anyone involved in trying to find the truth in what people say in politics. Jim Tharp is back with us, editor of PolitiFact Georgia, which you can catch in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and on myajc.com. Jim, welcome back.
Good to be here, Dennis.
At the end of the year, it's a PolitiFact tradition, kind of goes with eggnog, the lie of the year. And this is something that PolitiFact editors like yourself around the country pick each year. Last year, Donald Trump won for his entire body of work. This year, it's a little different.
Right, because of its powerful symbolism in an election year filled with rampant and outrageous lying by both sides, PolitiFact this year has named fake news as the winner of the 2016 Lie of the Year. And we define fake news here as made-up stuff that's masterfully manipulated to look like credible journalism and spread rampantly throughout an incredibly powerful and omnipresent internet.
Yeah, before we get into who were the best purveyors of it or worst purveyors of it, let's stick with that definition for a moment, because how is fake news, the way you guys define it, how does that differ from, let's say, a lie or a false statement that a candidate like Mr. Trump or Secretary Clinton made during the campaign?
Well, fake news is made to look like a real event, and often it's perpetrated on sites that are dedicated to making up stuff to sway voters, to sway public opinion one way or the other. It's more than a lie. It's a lie that's perpetrated as an actual event.
So like written up as a story instead of something that one of the candidates said about the other, let's say.
That's correct.
So who were the masters, if you will, of fake news in 2016?
Well, I got a couple of examples here that we use. One was very obvious. Hillary Clinton is running a child sex ring out of a pizza shop. We heard that recently.
Yeah, and that one had actual consequences because a guy went into that pizza place with a gun and actually fired shots looking to liberate these children who didn't exist.
Another one from Florida, Democrats want to impose Islamic law in Florida. And another one coming from the other side, thousands of people at a Donald Trump rally in Manhattan chanted, quote, "We hate Muslims, we hate blacks, we want to get our great country back," end of quote. None of those happened. They're all fake stories. But again, these were put into people's Facebook feeds. They went out on Twitter. And before anybody could say, hey, this isn't real, millions of people got these stories and took them as real news stories.
And one of the things we hear when we do fact checks like this is people from one side or the other saying, oh, you're doing a false equivalence here by saying this side also told lies, the implication being, particularly from Democrats, that, well, Donald Trump did it a lot more often than anyone else, and folks supporting him, if not his campaign, put out more fake news than the other side did.
Right. The Oxford Dictionary this year picked post-truth as its word of the year and defined it as a state of affairs when objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotional and personal belief. And we saw a campaign that epitomized that this year, I think.
But, of course, the amazing thing is that particularly because of the new technology, we think that, oh, we just invented false news when the internet came along. But it goes way, way, way back, doesn't it?
Yeah, a recent Politico article looked at the history of fake news, and they traced it back, at least in print, to 1439 and Mr. Gutenberg when he invented movable type. It was easier at that time to get out mass quantities of printed material, some of it true, some of it not true. Now, that extended through people we think of as very great Americans, like Benjamin Franklin. He himself concocted propaganda and pamphlet stories about murderous, quote, scalping Indians working in league with British King George III. And other revolutionary leaders joined him. And there were people putting out fake news on the British side of that war. Now, this extended and kind of accelerated by the early 19th century when modern newspapers came into vogue. And you had everything from the New York Sun's great moon hoax of 1835, claimed there was an alien civilization on the moon. And then you had, of course, people like William Randolph Hearst and his Morning Journal. They used exaggeration to actually spark a war, the Spanish-American War.
Yeah.
When Hearst's correspondent in Havana wired that there would be no war, Hearst, who was the inspiration for Citizen Kane, famously responded, "You furnish the pictures, I'll furnish the war."
And then, speaking of Citizen Kane, there was the guy who played the Hearst-like character in Citizen Kane who pulled off one of the best fake news stories ever, which was never intended to be believed, War of the Worlds.
That's right. Orson Welles convinced a large number of people who panicked, who actually thought the Martians were invading.
And you mentioned some of the founding fathers. Alexander Hamilton, who is celebrated right now in that hit Broadway show, was a purveyor of fake news. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams had people that they were working in league with during some of their bitter campaigns against each other, putting out fake news.
All very true, Dennis. The difference in the modern era is the internet. Things can be spread to millions, even billions of people at the speed of light. And once that news is out there, it's kind of hard to refute it. People already have it in their heads that it's true. They pass it on to their friends. So we live in a technologically accelerated era of fake news is what we're in right now.
And President Obama even implied this past week that we all have to look in the mirror, because sometimes when something appears too good to be true, but it lines up with our notion of who should be winning the campaign, for instance, we want to believe it, so we do.
That's right. There's this old adage out there, don't confuse me with the facts. I've got my mind made up. And fake news plays directly into that. We all have certain biases. Fake news plays into those biases. We tend to believe what we want to without checking them out. And that's what fact checkers do. They try to get behind the soundbite, slow it down a little, get into the weeds, and tell you what's really going on.
But that raises the question of what can fact checkers do? Facebook, for instance, is trying to find a way to flag fake news stories. But then the question comes up, who defines that?
That's correct. And Facebook is working with entities like PolitiFact to try to do this. And it's a very difficult job. I was telling somebody the other day, it's kind of like that children's game, whack-a-mole. You know, you hit one and five other ones pop up. And who makes the decision as to what's fake news and what is not fake news? Now, I think we have our hands on what the definition of fake news is. It's stuff that's maliciously manipulated to fool people. That's a pretty easy definition. But again, there's so much of it out there, and there are relatively few fact checkers in the world trying to sort this stuff out. So I think the people putting this out actually have the upper hand at this point, although people are trying to get a handle on it.
So how do you draw the line between something that is maliciously put out and deliberately fake versus something where somebody's expressing an opinion, somebody else says that's absolutely not true, but there's a debate about it?
Right, or something that's actually put out as satire. I've had several things come across my news feed recently that were obviously put out as satire, but somebody reported those in their dissemination of that as real news. They're taking a piece of satire, passing it along as something that actually happened. It raises a lot of very difficult questions that we're going to be talking about for a long time.
And the readers and the folks who follow fact checkers online had their own ideas about what was the lie of the year.
That's right. And I think it shows a little fatigue with the overall election. That's what they named their lie of the year, the entire 2016 election cycle, when falsehoods overran the facts. They put Donald Trump second, and they put fake news as third. And bringing up the rear were Hillary Clinton's statement on her email server.
So where do fact checkers go in 2017? Obviously, we need more fact checkers with more resources.
Again, it's a very difficult world out there. It's a whack-a-mole kind of world. We need a lot of people keeping up with this. Nobody's going to quit doing this just because people are keeping a tighter rein on them. I would expect more fake news sites to actually pop up, and it'll be more and more difficult to flag these things and figure out where they're at. Fact checkers will keep doing what they do.
And in the meantime, all of us have to probably keep our biases, our own personal biases, whatever they are, in check when we look at stories that we wish were true about the bad things the other people are doing, whoever they are.
That's true. I was on a panel recently at Emory, and somebody asked us, what can we do as individual citizens to kind of monitor this ourselves? And my response to them is, do what I do. Every morning I get up and I look at five or six websites, everything from the New York Times to the AJC to Drudge to Huffington to Politico. Look at a number of sources before you make up your mind about something being true or untrue. Be very aware with what's going on with Twitter. Be very aware with what's going on with Facebook. And be skeptical about pretty much everything.
On that happy note, we'll leave things for 2016. Jim Tharp is the editor of PolitiFact Georgia, which you can catch in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and on myajc.com. Jim, the happiest of holidays to you, and we will see you soon.
See you soon, Dennis.